This morning, we're continuing our Summer with the Sun sermon series, working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, taking a look at what Jesus had to say as he taught the crowds. Very practical information. And as I've talked about for most of these weeks, I'm kind of taking this apart a piece at a time, but in reality, it was presented by Jesus in one sitting. It all flows together. Last week we talked about being kind and how our kindness, how our compassion ought to be present in how we live and in what we do and in who we spend time with. This morning we're going to move to this next section in Matthew chapter 7, talking about being persistent. Well, I think we need that reminder because it follows the section on being kind, and we get tired. We want to give up. It's sometimes questioned in our mind if it's worth it. And there's a part of our human nature that tends to forget things. I know it tends to increase as we add the years, but it's not solely based on our age. There are things that we forget simply because, well, we'd just as soon not remember. There are things that we forget because there hasn't been anyone to remind us. There are things that we forget because our mind is full of distractions. And there are things that happen in life that we tell ourselves, I'll never forget, until we do. This past week, if you've watched any news at all, there have been a variety of things that probably grabbed your attention. Perhaps the most noticeable was the 25th anniversary of 9/11. A day when people gathered in unity, at least the day after, and said, we'll never forget. But if you watch the actions of people, I think we did forget. Our response isn't the same as what it was on September 12, 2001. I've stated numerous times in regards to this, my most favorite memory, if there is such a thing, of that time period is as our nation's leaders gathered on the steps of the Capitol and sang together, God bless America. A moment of unity, of purpose, of remembrance. Also, this past week was the anniversary of the killing of Charlie Kirk. We have forgotten when it's okay to simply kill people because you disagree with them. The at least temporary end of a well-publicized trial of three children that were killed. A lot of things happening in our world that happen because we give up remembering the things that we ought to remember as a society, as a culture. And so this morning, as we consider what it looks like to be persistent, to, as Jesus would say, to keep on praying and never give up, I want us to consider, in the midst of this section of Scripture, there's a verse that we often refer to, or at least we used to refer to, I don't hear about it a lot anymore, that we used to refer to as the Golden Rule. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And it's in that context that I want us to consider what it looks like to be persistent in living the Golden Rule. And so we're going to use the word rule rather than persistent as our outline this morning. Because I think within this instruction, we can begin to understand how grasping an application and a living of this Golden Rule can help us be persistent in our faith, in our belief, and in our life. And so this morning, as we've done each message in this series, we begin in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, which says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside. And he sat down and he began to teach them, saying, how very happy are you when life happens in unexpected ways. The actual text in the English language, at least, is, blessed are you when you are persecuted, when you mourn, when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, when things happen that you really didn't expect to happen. You're blessed because God is with you in the midst of those, not because those things are a blessing in and of themselves. And that lays the foundation for this entire Sermon on the Mount. It lays the foundation for this entire sermon series on being. And I don't know that I've stressed that a lot, but if you've noticed, the titles each week begin with the word being. And each week we look at a different characteristic that God wants us to not just know. There are characteristics that he wants us to not just know about. They're characteristics that he wants to be in our life. And being persistent means that we gaze into God's word and we consider what it is that he wants. And then we keep doing it. There are many things in life that we do once, at least in my life, that I do once, and I said, that was enough of that. Running's one of those for me. Somebody convinces me I ought to run a race, and I do it once, and I said, that's enough of that. I don't mind walking, but this running stuff, that's for somebody else. But there are things in life that we try that are actually good things. But we're not persistent. We don't keep up with it. And there are things in our Christian walk, in our faith, in the way we live, that are good things that we read in God's Word and we say, I ought to do that. And we do it once and, well, it's a year later and we found that, when was the last time I opened the Bible? When was the last time that I just sat and prayed? When was the last time that I memorized a scripture verse of any length? When was the last time that I just sat in God's presence and listened to what His Spirit might be saying? We do those things when we're reminded of them, but our persistence in them sometimes, it's a little lacking. I can say that because it's true of me. It's not an accusation to anybody. It's simply a nature of mankind. But as we consider this passage from Matthew 7, beginning at verse 7, I want us to look at what it looks like to be persistent in this golden rule. And I think it begins by being persistent in a golden request. A little later, Jesus will say that you don't have because you don't ask. There are a lot of reasons why we don't ask. But this golden request says, I'm willing to talk to God about anything because I'm willing to accept His answer. One of the reasons we don't ask is because we don't want to officially hear an answer that we don't like. I remember growing up, I wasn't terrified, but I did not like asking mom or dad for anything because I was always afraid they'd say no. And to me, it was easier not to hear the no than to ask the question. And I think sometimes we are afraid to request of God, we're afraid to ask of God because what if He says no? And if I don't ask, I can just proceed as if it's a yes. and live life in that manner. These first two verses, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And you say, wait a minute. I've asked. I've sought. I've knocked. I didn't receive. The door wasn't opened. I wasn't getting the answer that I wanted. And we define that, or we state that more, I wasn't getting an answer at all, if it's not the one I wanted. You see, this golden request says, I'm willing to go to God and request according to His will. And so our requests begin to look differently. We ask, we seek, we knock, saying, God, reveal yourself in the midst of this. Oftentimes we ask, seek, and knock with an answer already defined in our own mind of what's appropriate and what's acceptable, and God has a completely different answer that's even better. He's writing that beautiful story, and we've already written the next chapter, and it doesn't match up with what He wrote. And this golden rule, as we persist in it, says my asking will change. We begin to learn from Jesus, who, on the night that He was betrayed, prayed in the garden, not my will, but yours be done. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus was heard because of His submission. His cries were heard. That request was heard by God. It was answered. And yet Jesus still hung on a cross and died, because that was the better part of a beautiful story. That allowed us to be part of that beautiful story. And we persist in this golden rule when we persist in requesting of God, of His presence, of His will, of His desire. And there are times, the Bible says, that we don't know what to ask, and so the Spirit has to help us. But we still request. And Paul writes, he says, we ought to make our requests known to God with prayers, petitions, with groanings, in every way possible. So my encouragement, as you learn to be persistent in this golden rule, is that you learn to be persistent in requesting of God. And sometimes that will demand that you wrestle with God over the answer that you get. And by faith, you take that answer and you allow it to grow in your life to become what He wants it to be. Being persistent is not only about being persistent in this golden request, it's also about being persistent in a golden understanding. When the requests aren't answered the way that we want, when life doesn't make any sense, when we're convinced in our mind there's a better way, which typically translates, we believe there's a more convenient way, there's a more comfortable way. But to live in this persistence of a golden understanding picks up in verse 9. He says, think about how you treat those that you love. Which of you, if your son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We learn to be persistent in this golden understanding when we begin to understand the very nature of God is love. How many times, for parents in this room, how many times have you given your child something, you've done something for them, that they've not appreciated it? I know we don't have enough time for you to count up all of them. But when you consider yourself as the child of your parents, you know, it's easy as a parent to see that in our children, but what about you? How many times throughout your childhood that extends into whatever age that you are, have your parents done something that you've not appreciated? Now, there are things that parents do that should not be appreciated. We're not perfect. We sin. We do things that are evil, and that's what God says here. Not everything that we do is right and good. But even when we do what is right and good, it's not always appreciated. But we know something that the child doesn't know. We have an experience that they haven't had yet. And God says, being persistent in this golden understanding realizes that he knows things that we don't know. And so we continue to hold fast to him. We trust that next chapter is going to sound differently because of this chapter. And we believe that those golden requests, those things that we've asked for, will be answered in ways that are for our good and not for our harm. That the bread isn't a stone. That the fish isn't a snake. That the good isn't evil. And when we begin to have that understanding of God, we cling to him. Because we know that just his embrace reminds us that we're not alone. It's interesting and enjoyable to watch children and parents that have a good relationship, young children. Because even in the midst of discipline, even in the midst of correction, there's a desire by that young child to hold fast to the parent. They want reassurance that they're loved, that they're cared for. The discipline doesn't drive them away, not if it's done in love. It draws them closer. And this golden understanding that we have is that God's desire for us is good for us, even when it feels heavy. Even when it feels painful. It's designed to draw us closer to him, to cling to him, to cause us to recognize our need for him. And we realize in this golden understanding that God sees the end. And all I'm reading right now is this sentence. And it helps us to put our trust in a God that loves us. And when we learn to be persistent in this golden request, this golden understanding, we have a better grasp of what this golden law is. Law can be a complicated thing. Because the nature of most laws is there's a consequence for breaking it. And because there's a consequence for breaking it, we tend to forget the benefit of keeping it. Our focus is wrong. And Jesus says, as we learn to be persistent in this golden rule, he defines that golden rule, as I've mentioned earlier, as doing to others as you would have them do unto you. In fact, verse 12 says, so in everything. It says, in response to God's goodness, in response to God giving you good gifts, in response to God being a good father. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Being persistent in this golden rule says, if I want to live in obedience to God's word, I'm going to change the way that I treat others. I know how I want to be treated. And many times the barriers that we face in life, in relationship, come about because somebody's not treating us the way we want to be treated. And so, what do we do? Well, our natural response in human terms is we respond in like manner. If they mistreat me, then I mistreat them. That's not exactly what God says we ought to be doing. It isn't do unto others as they do unto you. We like to live that way. It's do unto others as you would want them to do to you. And so we understand this golden rule, this golden law. This is, I begin to live differently based on who God is and who He wants me to be. Not based on who someone else is. Not even based on who they want me to be. Being persistent says, I keep at it, even though it's difficult. In reality, I believe this is one of the most difficult verses to live. Why? Well, because Jesus says it actually sums up everything else. If you can live this, then you're doing a pretty good job of living all the rest of it. We're persistent in this golden rule and we're persistent in this golden law. The doing to others is I want done to me. I want people to be nice to me. So why am I not nice to others at times? I want people to forgive me. So why am I not forgiving of others at times? I want people to love me. So why do I not love people at times? And we can go on and on with the things that we want in life that are good and godly. And rather than ask, why don't they do that more? The question ought to be, why don't I do that more? We're persistent when we keep at it, no matter what anybody else does. It's that response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when threatened with being thrown into the fiery furnace for not bowing down to the statue of the king. Everybody else is doing it. They're not us. I don't want to mistreat God. And so the response, I'm going to do the right thing even if no one else does. And even if it doesn't get the result that I think it should. They tell the king, God can save us, God can rescue us, God can deliver us from this fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, it doesn't change how I act. God can rescue you. God can deliver you from the accusation, from the meanness of other people. But even if he doesn't, it shouldn't change how you act. Being persistent in this golden rule says the golden law of God is to consider what he has done for me and how I want others to treat me and then treat them in a like manner. Being persistent in this golden rule is not only about the request and the understanding and the law, but it's also being persistent in a golden entry. It's through faithfulness. God's faithfulness more than ours that we enter heaven. Matthew 7, beginning at verses 13 and 14, says, Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. That's the easy way. The crowds are all going in. I may as well go too. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. A few is a relative term compared to the many. But this golden entry says this narrow road is what you want to find. This narrow path is what you want to walk on. This trail is the one that leads to life. But it's not going to be an easy one. It's not going to be a popular one. It's going to be the right one. And this golden entry comes about as we realize the claims and statement of Jesus that no one sees the Father except through him. The claims and statements of Jesus that he is the way, the truth, and the life. The claims and statement of the Bible says that there is no other name under heaven by which you must be saved than the name of Jesus. We be persistent when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as the way. When we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as the truth, when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as life. There are many who would say that there are numerous ways to heaven. You only find one way in the Bible. And this golden entry says, I'm following that way because I'm convinced by faith the power of God to save those that belong to him. And when we live this persistent life, it's not a life of what the world would define as a negative stubbornness. Sometimes we hear persistence and we think of someone stubbornly stuck in their ways that, well, kind of rubs us the wrong way. But the reason that it often has a negative connotation is because oftentimes our stubbornness is in something that isn't even right. It's just what we like. This persistence that God talks about is a persistence in our walk with him, in our relationship with him, in our love for him that flows into our walk and relationship and love for one another. So we live by the golden rule. When we learn to request, when we learn to understand, when we learn the law, when we learn the entry point, and we keep on walking. And we stay on that narrow path. And we watch for the guardrails of God's word. I can tell you when I'm out hiking and especially in terrain that I'm not comfortable and familiar with, and the path is very narrow and there's a cliff on this side and a drop off on this side, I like guardrails. And God's given us His guardrails, His Word, His Spirit. But in the times where those paths have no guardrails that I can visibly see, I'm paying very close attention to where my steps land, each footstep. I want my foot to stay on the path, not to slide down the edge. I want my foot to keep moving forward and not slip off. And this path that we walk with God is a path that may be narrow, it may be difficult, but it is the path that leads to a destination of eternity with God. This morning we come to a time of decision, a time that really is about our persistence, our faithfulness, our walk with God that chooses Him no matter what, that follows Jesus without giving up. There are many who will try to convince us either directly or indirectly that it's not worth it. That their life is actually better than what your life is. Why do you have to live like that when we could have so much fun doing this? And we're tempted to say, okay, I'll walk with you for a while on this path that's much easier. And it doesn't mean it's impossible, but it becomes more difficult the longer that we walk on that wide and comfortable path to return to the narrow path. And so God calls for us to be persistent in loving Him and loving people. I don't know if you caught that. That golden rule that we call it, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus says this sums up all the law and prophets. Do you want to know what else He says that about? Those two greatest commands. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He says these sum up all the law and prophets. You do these and you've done the rest. And so I believe that's the heart of being persistent in this golden rule. To do unto others as you would have them do unto you is only possible when you choose to love God and love people. And in so doing, you commit to a life of faithfulness. A life that says, I'm with Jesus no matter what. I won't give up. I won't give in. If you're here this morning, we've talked a little bit about the golden entry, the starting point of this journey is finding that path that Jesus is Lord. He's the gatekeeper of the path of eternal life that goes through Him. If you're here this morning and you've never begun that journey with Jesus, you've never surrendered to His Lordship, you've never declared Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never chosen to die to self, to be buried with Christ, to be raised with Christ, this persistence in the things of God begins with that. I'd love to talk with you about that decision if you need to make that. A few moments, we're going to sing a song of decision. You can join me in the room to my left and we can begin that conversation. But as I say each week, most of us gather because we've made that decision. We've made that declaration with our words and with our life, and we want to live for Jesus. But it's hard. And it's difficult. And the enemy says, just give up. It's not worth it. And when we say no, he says, well, don't give up. Just put it on pause then. You deserve a break today, right? And God says, no, be persistent. Be faithful. Make your requests known. Understand God's answers are always done in love. Live the law of God that's based on love. And walk in that entry, that path that leads to life eternal. If you need someone to pray with you, you're also welcome to join me in the room to my left and we can pray together. You're always welcome to find somebody near you and just, hey, would you pray with me? Pray where you're at. Go into another area to pray. Make arrangements to meet after the service or sometime during the week just to pray together. Make the most of the opportunities that God gives you to not only be encouraged, but to encourage others through prayer. But it is my prayer that God's word has been spoken clearly by His Spirit in a way that you want to be persistent. And you want to live persistently in this golden rule. And that you would decide today that that is what will guide your life. Would you stand as we sing?